Hi, everyone, and welcome to the SRHM podcast. My name is Nina Sun, and I am an associate editor for the SRHM Journal. Today's episode of the podcast is special, as we're sharing the recording from a poetry event that SRHM hosted on International Women's Day. As some of you may know, SRHM announced a call for poetry on sexual and reproductive justice in September 2021. Poetry has long played a role in advocacy, and we were honored to enter this space. After careful consideration by a selection committee, 57 poems from around the world were chosen to be included in SRHM's first ever poetry anthology. This anthology was then published on International Women's Day 2022. To celebrate, we invited five poets to read their poems and share their inspirations. This is what you're about to hear. SRHM's poetry anthology is available in full at srhm.org. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Good morning or good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the SRHM poetry event. Briefly introduce myself. I'm Jane Cottingham. I'm a longtime women's health activist. Back in 1976, I co-founded an international women's information and communication service called ISIS. And much later, I worked with the World Health Organization, integrating gender and women's and human rights into their work on sexual and reproductive health. And I'm currently the chair of the board of trustees of SRHM. And I'm absolutely delighted to welcome everybody onto this event. And so we have our distinguished poets, Carmen Barroso from Brazil, Elizabeth Wright Ventimiglia from Sweden, Mahamuda Rahman from Bangladesh, Esther Kismodi, who is the chief executive of SRHM, Esben Esther Pirelli Benestat, who is one of the members of the poetry selection committee, Martha Ryan, also a member of the selection committee, Andres Logos Limos from Colombia, and Megan Spencer from the USA. So welcome to you all, and we're very excited about this, that in fact, we believe this is the first time that a journal, especially a health journal and a sexual and reproductive health journal, has actually had a poetry competition. And our wonderful selection, which is published today, it's online, and so hopefully you can all discover it. Actually, when we launched this whole idea, we had no idea what to expect. And in fact, we were really surprised to have received something like 110 entries from literally all over the world. And then basically, we went through a selection process, I think selected something like 57 poems. So the poets who are going to speak today are just some of them, and they were kind enough to agree to participate in this event to give us a feeling of what can be done with poetry in terms of SRHM and sexual and reproductive justice. So having said all of that, I am going to turn to our first poet on today's list, who is Megan Spencer. And now Megan is a feminist artist, scholar, and mother. She's a PhD student at the University of California, Santa Barbara in the US, where she studies Black feminist ecology, specifically on how Black women's visual art and literature show us connections between ecological crises and various forms of racial, sexual, and state violence. So Megan, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Jane. Thank you to everyone who's joining us. I'm joining y'all from California this morning. And I'll just say a little bit about my poem before I read it. It's called On Mother's Day, Our First Together. And this is a poem that I wrote for my daughter, who's 1 year old. And she was born very, very prematurely and had a very rough start to her life. Spent a lot of time in the hospital before she was able to come home. And this poem is sort of about my coming to understand those experiences as part of this pattern within the United States of Black women having disproportionate rates of negative birth outcomes, of infant and maternal mortality. And so I was just trying to think about that time of not knowing if she would live and really reflecting on that alongside racism and violence against Black people in the US and throughout the world. Okay, so on Mother's Day, our first together, one morning in December, under the newborn moon, I am split open. In the operating room, a scalpel cuts a smile across my rounding belly. I come apart to make a way for you. I am flesh, then vessel, then canal, then empty. And just like that, we are two. Red, wet, and swollen faced. You enter the world beneath glaring white light. Dark curls, slick and sticky, like a baby bird. Soft bones, ears folded shut. You two are there in this room, where everyone has a job to do. When you came, your lungs were still readying, and I needed more time to teach you how to breathe in this sharp, demanding world. I am trying to convince you to stay, how to make you choose this unforgiving place that snatches up anything loved by Black girls, especially Black girls themselves. I am afraid of everything. You are smaller than anything I have ever loved or held, barely a papaya in my open hands. Will you swim in the ocean one day? Will you eat salted tomato sandwiches in August? Or obsess about the way light moves through water? Will I have time to read you Lucille Clifton? There is language and color here. I promise if you wait, there is more than these tangled and infinite wires and this constant threat of rupture. There is a sky out there. I pray your tiny feet grow roots into this terrifying earth, and not the moonless black night dusted with stars. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Megan. This is a very, very powerful poem, I think. It's and it moved all of the people on the committee, really. Well, let us move to our second poet on the list. And this is Carmen Barroso from Brazil. Carmen is, she's a long time, also a very long time women's health activist. She's been in the women's movement since her youth and has supported movement building throughout her career, beginning as a university professor and a founder of the Women's Studies Center in Brazil. In the 1990s, she was the director of the MacArthur Foundation, through which she was able to support women's organizations in Latin America, Africa, and Asia. She retired from her position as director of the Western Hemisphere of IPPF, but continues to be active for reproductive and sexual through writing, consulting, and serving on global committees of UN organizations like WHO and UNFPA. And I like this. When she received the UN Population Award, she dedicated her speech to the doctor who had carried out her abortion when she was a student dreaming to overcome the Brazilian dictatorship. She started writing poetry in the last decade and has published some, mostly in Portuguese. So the poem she's going to read is called Forgive Me, Father, and I'll let you say more about whatever you want to say about the poem. Carmen, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Jane, and thank you, everybody, for being here. It's really a pleasure to be with you all. I'm going to read a poem called Forgive Me, Father. It was one of the first I wrote about 6 years ago, when Pope Francis announced that he would grant authority to the priests to forgive women who had abortions. So it's called Forgive Me, Father. Forgive me, Father, because I was so ignorant. I did not know how to protect myself. Forgive me, Father, because I was so stupid. I thought it would never happen to me. Forgive me, Father, because I was so naive. I believed you would take care of me. Forgive me, Father, because I was so young. I did not know how to care for a new life. Forgive me, Father, because I was so weak. I could not convince you of my reasons. Forgive me, Father, because I was so powerless. I do not have many options. Forgive me, Father, because I was so dense. I did not appreciate the guilting power of the church. Forgive me, Father, because I was so ashamed. I did not stop the priest from playing with my body. I want to dedicate this poem to two women. The first was a woman who came to my office soon after I spoke about my travels to Latin America, promoting the right to abortion. And she was desperate. She couldn't stop crying. And I was overwhelmed because she was crying, because she was afraid and guilty of about an abortion she had done 30 years before. I don't know what was my strongest reaction, if the compassion for her or the rage at the institution that had caused so much damage to her. Her grief and her guilt overwhelmed me. The second woman I want to dedicate a poem is Peg Edera, a neighbor who became a friend because of the call of SRHM. When I received the call, I walked to a house where I knew lived a poet, knocked at the door, and gave her a copy of the call in case she wanted to send the poem. I also asked her whether she could advise me about two poems I was considering sending, the one I just read to you, and the other about my own abortion, which I had just written in response to the call. I didn't know if either of the poems was worthy of sending, and if I were to send one of them, I didn't know which one. Peggy was a wonderful mentor. She very gently made me see that the second poem was not ready for sending. She just told me that that's her method of working, that she writes a poem and leave it alone for a while and let it rest and get mature, so that she goes back later and prune the poem and does what it has to do to really express what she wants to say. So I sent the one that I gave you. But regarding that one, she also was helpful because she didn't offer any edits, but she made very probing questions about what I wanted to say. It was then that I realized that the object of my sarcasm was not only the Pope, was patriarchy, was every priest and every father who had abused his daughter. Fortunately, not my own patriarchal father. But with that realization, I made a very subtle change in the poem, which I think made it more interesting. I use a capital F for father, and I use Holy Father. There was a variation there. And I thought that was a solution for my multiple targets. So I want to thank SRHM for this beautiful friendship with this wonderful poet, Peg Edera.
Great. Thank you for telling us all that, Carmen. It's absolutely fascinating, the connections that poetry makes between people as well as between feelings and spirits. So now I'm going to turn to our third poet, Andrés Logos Lemos is a biology student at the Universidad Pedagógica y Tecnológica de Colombia, and he loves to write poetry and was born in Puerto Nacional Santander in Colombia. His poem is in Spanish, so he's going to read the Spanish, and then Martha is going to read the English translation, which was made by Mayeli Lorena Hillan Pacheco. So, Andrés, the floor is yours.
Mi nombre es Andrés Lagos. Soy de Colombia.
Andrés Lagos Lemos is a biology student at the Universidad Pedagógica y Tecnológica de Colombia. And he loves to write poetry and was born in Puerto Nacional, Santander, in Colombia.
Well, just to add that he mentions that he's engaged in the unlearning of or unteaching all the bad things that we learned about gender identity and so on.
Thank you very much. So, Andrés, your poem in Spanish first.
¿Prosigo?
Sí.
El poema se titula Libertad y Amor. ¿Por qué mi forma de amar está mal? El amor es intrínseco en mí. Es mi libertad expresada en abrazos y mi voz en una explosión volcánica. Me conocían como Daniel, pero en mi alma siempre estuvo tatuada como Daniela. Y ni la frialdad de este mundo anticuado me lo arrebatarán. El veneno disparado por ojos ignorantes de la diversidad colorida del amor, del sin límites de sensaciones y emociones que solo se disfrutan mejor fuera de una cárcel de madera, que al mismo tiempo me atormenta viviendo a la expectativa de monstruos callejeros que me quieren arrebatar mi identidad por vagas ideas de ancianos extranjeros, con el odio materializado en pólvora y acero y que solo oxidan los sueños de cientos de mis hermanas, guerreras sin tregua, azotadas contra las orillas por evangélicos, paramilitares o cualquier otro tipo de cerdo conservador, que en forma despectiva demuestran su ignorancia en palabras como sidosa, rara o hasta con emisarios de muerte, despojando lápidas conmemorativas que me transportan en el tiempo y habían nuestras almas en llamas, galas y fiestas de justicia. Por ellas me debo la mayor expresión de amor, que es existir y existirá, el amor por mí mismo. Gracias.
Muchas gracias. It's lovely to hear it in the Spanish, but we're also going to have the English translated version. It's called Freedom and Love, and by Javier Andrés Lagos Lemos. Why is my way of loving wrong? Love is intrinsic in me. It is my freedom expressed in hugs and my voice in a volcanic explosion. I was known as Danielle, but my soul has always been tattooed as Daniela. And not even the coldness of an old-fashioned world, it will not be taken away from me. The poison shot by ignorant eyes of the colorful diversity of love, of the limitless sensations and emotions that are only enjoyed best outside a wooden prison. That, at the same time, torments me, living in expectation of street monsters who want to take away my identity, for vague ideas of old foreigners, with hatred materialized in gunpowder and steel, and that only rust the dreams of hundreds of my sisters, warriors without truth, whipped against the shore by evangelicals, paramilitaries, and any other kind of conservative pigs, who, in a contemptuous way, demonstrate their ignorance in words like bitch, strange, or even with emissaries of death, leaving memorial tombstones that transport me in time and enliven our souls in flames, galas, and feasts of justice. For them, I owe myself the greatest expression of love that can and will forever exist, love for myself.
Gracias por la traducción.
Thank you for the poem, and we hope you go on to write many more.
So he's saying that it was a lot of effort, and that he wanted to make sure that he expressed the feelings of trans people and not necessarily his own, and that it was a lot of effort.
Thank you. See, Esben, Esther has hand up.
Well, being one of the sisters mentioned in the poem, I just want to thank you personally from that. It touched my heart. And I think that poetry has the ability to talk to our emotions. and we are run by cognition, but also by emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think that poetry has its great, great power, as Andres just demonstrated for us, and as Megan did, and as everyone does who expressed that.
Thank you. Okay, so now we will go to the next person, who is actually Elizabeth Rentería, who is a gender specialist and feminist advocate from Quito, Ecuador. Having been raised by a widowed mother, she learned early on about the importance of women's autonomy and self-reliance. Areas of interest and expertise include sexual and domestic violence, reproductive justice, migration, and mental and emotional health. She holds a bachelor's degree from Hampshire College and a master's degree on gender, violence, and conflict from the University of Sussex in the UK. She's creator of Picture Her Story and Me Voy de Casa, and currently leads a transnational feminist co-mentorship program with the Society of Gender Professionals. Ellie is currently based in Stockholm, Sweden, and recently joined an organization called RFSU that runs projects and programs to promote access to sexual and reproductive health and rights. So we're delighted to have you, and please go ahead with your poem.
Thank you so much, Jane, and to everyone who's joining. So I'll read my poem first, and then I'll share a little bit about the process of writing it. For the women who came before us. Yo quisiera haber tenido las fuerzas para decir algo cuando tenía tu edad. I wish I had the strength to say something when I was your age. My mom admires me because I go to protests, I share my opinion, I built my life the way I wanted to. It makes me happy to know she admires me, but I hope she knows how much I admire her. She didn't go to protests 40 years ago, but she joins me now. She didn't share her opinion when she was younger, but now she defends and protects mine. She once couldn't build her life the way she wanted to, but she supports me as I build my own. Who brought you to the world? Who birthed you? What happened before she gave birth to you? It is not my story to share, but I think that's why she once said to me, with a lot of pain and regret, Yo quisiera haber tenido las fuerzas para decir algo cuando tenía tu edad. I wish I had the strength to say something when I was your age. Tell me, what does justice look like for the women who came before us? Thank you for listening. So I dedicate this poem, obviously, to my mom and to all the women who came before me. Well, I am very passionate about sexual and reproductive justice, so I didn't want to miss the opportunity to share something during the call. So I wrote the poem for SRHM, but it was inspired by an essay that I wrote back in 2017 when I took a feminist writing course. It was a course led by Impetu, Centro de Estudios, there in Mexico, but the course was online. I took the course right when I moved back to Ecuador after living in the U.S. for some years. At the time, you know, I had a lot of conversations with my mom about women's rights and feminism and social change. And in many of these conversations, she said that to me, you know, the phrase that I include in the poem. And she wouldn't really explain more. She would just say that. But I kind of knew what she was referring to, and I kind of understood what she was talking about. And so I took the opportunity during the online writing course to write an essay about that, about her life story and about my life story. And so once I decided to write a poem based on that essay, it came to me very easily, but I also got very stuck. I had many drafts of it. I changed the title. And a lot of people helped me along the way. And when I found out that the poem was going to be published, I was actually in Ecuador with my mom. And so I wanted to share it with her before it was published to get her consent and to get her perspective if she wanted to change anything. So we made some minor changes together. And it was also a very powerful experience to share this process with her. Yeah, I think she's very happy that that the poem got published. And, you know, I think that one of my main goals with the poem was to encourage people to talk about their reproductive experiences with their mothers, their grandmothers, their daughters, because I think that a lot of what has happened to women and to people regarding their sexual and reproductive health and rights, there's not a lot that we can do about what has already happened. One of my frustrations is exactly that, is as an activist, I want to do a lot, and there's a lot that is out of my control, especially things that happened, you know, in previous generations. is also out of my control. But I think that one way that we can heal is by talking about what has happened and to really share with the people around us. So people have reacted very great with the poem. A lot of people shared it, which I didn't really expect. So it has been a really powerful experience. A lot of people told me that they relate to it. And yeah, my friend's mothers have read it. One of my supervisors' mother and daughter have read it. So it seems like it's reached people of a lot of generations. And I think that, yeah, that was pretty much my goal with it. I really wanted to speak of reproductive justice from an intergenerational angle.
That's great what you're saying. I think, Elizabeth, and I see people say, yeah, it's one of the things. If you don't say things, then maybe they even disappear. So speaking is so important. But it's wonderful to hear that, in a way, your mother's been able to say things through you. And the connection with previous generations is absolutely essential. And poetry does that. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. So now we come to Mahmuda Rahman from Bangladesh. And Mahmuda was born and raised in Bangladesh, and she now lives in the Netherlands. After finishing a BA and MA in English literature, Mahmuda started working in advertising and communications. And now she works with a feminist not-for-profit organization. We're delighted to have you. So, Mahmuda, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks for the introduction. I'm going to share a little bit about the poem itself before I read it. So, basically, I'm one of those people who used to write a lot and then stopped writing poems, especially recently. It's not that life has become very prosaic or I have lost the beauty and inspiration that I used to feel before. It's just that I started doubting whether anyone really wants to read them. So when I'm sort of overpowered by this urge to write something, to express myself, I just write something and share it with the people I'm very close to. So one of such people, Caitlin, I'm very happy that you joined in here as well. She forwarded this call to me. And I wrote the poem specially for this call because I always feel quite inspired when I write something for a cause, and also I see what I'm writing for. So it inspired me, the cause, very much. And I remember it was a few hours before the deadline, I think. I sat down in front of the laptop. I was thinking what to write. And what I want to say is that what I wrote, the content of it doesn't seem to be very unique. I don't think it's very unique. It's very much the universal cry we have for dignity and for respect and for freedom. So, and this thought did not come to me when I was writing this poem. This thought came to me when I was this 13-year-old kid. I was reading The Second Sex by Simone de Beauvoir for the first time, Bangla translation of it. And I was so horrified by the fact that how women and girls are treated all over the world, you know, like how we are treated just a piece of meat. And there are so many different ways of oppressing us and torturing us, and from female genital mutilation, you know, to just bury these newborn babies just because they are female. So it's sort of something I have carried in me for such a long time. And I'm very grateful that this was the moment I could express it. And I'm very grateful that this was selected and published. So I'm going to read this poem now, and I really hope you enjoy it. The poem is called My Body is My Soul. For decades, for centuries and more, you call me the Holy Mother or call me the whore. You think I'm a property to buy and sell, like a cow or a camel or a piece of land, and you secure me with shackles or a wedding band. Never occurred to you that my body is my soul, just like yours, and I have a role to decide and determine what I want to be. My body, my soul, or just be me. You are alarmed by my autonomy. You censor my senses. You cut me and bruise me, put me under your lenses, that little transparent box in your head, you want me to recite there like a shred. My body is my soul. It's not for you to tread. I'm growing out of your box to fly, to explore, to pervade. Never occurred to you that souls can defy cages, confines, containers, no matter how hard you try. My soul spreads her wings with my body in her hand. Hear, hear what she says and try to understand. Not a mother, not a mistress, not a piece of land. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much, Mahamuda. And I love the way you read it as well. It's very powerful. This line of my soul spreads her wings with my body in her hand is kind of says it all. It's lovely. Now, well, we've come now to the end of all of our invited poets, and the team asked me if I would, because I also write poetry, it turns out, have been for a while, and it's like other people have said that there's a way in which you can express things through poetry in perhaps a very contained and almost sculpted way that just an ordinary prose text can't capture at all. I mentioned at the beginning that I co-founded an organization called ISIS back in 1976. We had two offices, one in Geneva and one in Rome. It was an international women's information and communication service, and we published a quarterly bulletin we called the ISIS Bulletin, and this was years, decades before the internet. It was set up with the idea that women needed information, and we needed information generated by ourselves for ourselves. And I recently went back to the place where our office was in Geneva at 22 Rue des Gares. And I wrote this poem. It's called This Is Where. This is where I used to come to work, gathering stories of women for women. Women who knew so much and yet nothing about the power in the world and why it was they had to fetch water every day, and every day drag their bones and flesh in streets and houses, sweeping and cooking, mending and darning, and trying their best to tend to the children so they didn't starve or fall to disease, so they'd grow up to be as good as they could. Women who cursed when they saw their monthly blood as they had to wash and change and hide it away. Women who smiled at their monthly blood, a reprieve from the arduous rounds of production of all those cells knotting together, gradually taking over their bodies and souls to claim a space in the world. Women desperate to stop the cycle of growing knots, knotted cells that they hadn't asked for, but had no choice but to accept. Women whose desperation drove them to seek out back alleys and someone who'd help them with needles or herbs. And if they were lucky, they'd just survive. And if they weren't, they'd bleed to death. Women who wanted to feel the magical joy of bearing a child, bringing a child into the world to suckle and care for and watch while they grow. Women who wanted love and sex without pain and disease, no drugs or hormones or things put inside them to stop conception. Women who wanted the freedom to be who they wanted to be. Autonomous, independent, respected human beings. This is where I came to work with women, for women in the world, spreading information to claim our rights. We knew information is power. Thank you. Thank you for listening. It's kind of difficult to be the moderator at the same time as reading a poem, but anyway. It seemed to be maybe an appropriate poem to finish with.
It's so appropriate. It's so appropriate. It brought me memories because ISIS was a lifeline for us in Brazil. You know, we were being ridiculed and despised because we were daring to write about women, and that was such a minor, such a imperialistic, cultural imperialism adoption. You know, that's we were traitors to the left because we were adopting the cultural imperialist agenda of gender equality. And ISIS, you don't know how important it was for each one of us. It was really a lifeline. And you expressed it in such a beautiful way. I learned so much from there, and it came all to my mind because the diversity. I met feminists to ISIS who supported Depo Provera, something that for us was absolute no-no. And it opened my mind. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carmen, for those words. Thank you. I think we're coming to the end of the session, and it's such a relief, and it's wonderful to have these inspiring words in the context of other very visible things that are happening around us. So for all of the poets on the panel today and all of the others who are in the collection as well, you know, I'd like to wish you more inspiration. Keep going, keep writing, and keep sending your poems to SRHM. We're very happy to look at them and maybe publish them. So a big thank you, and to be continued. Happy rest of Women's Day to everybody. So for all of the poets on the panel today and all of the others who are in the collection as well, you know, I'd like to wish you more inspiration. Keep going, keep writing, and keep sending your poems to SRHM. We're very happy to look at them and maybe publish them. So a big thank you, and to be continued. Happy rest of Women's Day to everybody. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.